you've all had an enjoyable afternoon. I certainly appreciate the good singing once again, as well as the prayers that's been uttered. There's a riddle, if you like riddles. What goes up but never comes down? Well, I don't want to take up a lot of your time trying to figure that out. Maybe some of you already know. But we're going to talk about growing older tonight. So the answer to that riddle is your age. Okay? Now, with that said, I invite you to turn your Bibles to the 90th chapter of Psalms. The 90th Psalm, where Moses would utter this psalm, and we'll go ahead and mark that with your ribbon if you'd like, because we're going to visit the 71st psalm. And the 71st psalm is going to deal with an aging man. And I want you to notice how this aging, older man keeps his faith in God as he progresses age-wise, and how he never loses his faith in God. Now, before we get there, let's kind of set the tone for this sermon. It has been said, once a man, twice a child. Now, you young people, I want you to try your best to connect to this, because one day, God willing, this will be you, okay? From the chronological perspective, as you age, as you see your parents age, as you see your grandparents age, again, God willing, that will be you one day. So with that thought in mind, take notice. Take notice of your parents. Take notice of your grandparents. It seems like every time I preach this lesson about growing older, Sandy gets up and leaves. She's actually in the nursery. She had recent back surgery. I want to share that with the congregation. And major back surgery, in fact. And so she still has some pain with that. But nevertheless, let's continue this. Maybe not in every case, but in a number of cases, this is a true statement. Once a man, twice a child. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, but here's what I'm talking about, okay? We're talking about an aging person sometimes will develop a stage of dementia, and or perhaps even worse, stages in Alzheimer's. They'll lose their ability to function as they once did, if they can function at all. But sometimes they will revert back to childlike tendencies or actions. And they'll become solely dependent upon their caregiver once again. While in the stage of infancy and as a toddler, their caregiver was their mother. As an aging man or an aging woman, the caregiver may be their spouse. And so perhaps again, you may understand what I'm saying here. You know, there's a lot of things in this life that robs us of our inner peace. You see, when you don't have the inner peace, something's happened. And just real briefly, remember who the thief is. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's John 10:10. That's the devil. That's his objective, all right? And because of sin, we have these problems in life, these physical problems, all right? And they can be tremendous at times. We oftentimes sing the song, How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts? And we sing that because we're interested in our young people, and rightfully so. But let's be fair and balanced here, if you will. What about our older people? What about our senior saints, if you will? How shall the old secure their hearts? Should we be concerned about them as we are with our young? And I think, yeah, rightfully so, we should. Consider this as one ages, as well as the children's responsibilities. There's a lot to consider from the parental perspective, as well as from the children's perspectives. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 5, there around verse 6 or 7, Paul admonishes the young preacher there that if any widow have children or grandchildren, let them first show piety at home, that they may requite or repay their parents. Because your parents took care of you, young people, and continue to take care of you, it may come one day in your life where you may have to take care of your parents to a degree. And that's a command, remind you, from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Perhaps it's the anticipation of what may happen later that disrupts our inner peace. You see, we don't like to have our life interrupted, do we? I mean, when things are going smooth, when things are just rolling along at a good pace and everything's going well for you, that's the way we like it. However, reality tells us to expect to have a cog in the wheel sometime. Reality tells us that, listen, life isn't always going to be like we want it to be. That's life, isn't it? That's what life is really made up of, all right? Yes, we need to realize that our lives are going to get interrupted from time to time, but our inner peace, listen to this, it can be recaptured. There's times in our life when we may have a meltdown, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, mentally speaking, physically speaking. That's to be expected because that's part of life. Let's notice some concerns that we want to share. And these concerns, I believe, are legitimate. They're real concerns. From the children's perspective, will I have the health to take care of my aging parents? Maybe there's someone here this afternoon in a situation like this that you can relate to. My wife and my sister and I experienced this firsthand in 1987 when my father had a massive stroke. One day he's fine, the next day everything is gone. Just gone. He was just existing. He knew nothing. And don't you know that for 9 years, 9 years he laid in his back bedroom, not knowing if it was daylight or dark. He could not communicate. The feeding tube, the diapers, the whole nine yards, so to speak. 9 years he lay there. Our life was interrupted. It was right during the childhood of our children. And so there were some sacrifices that had to be made. But I'll tell you this, that godly man was worth every sacrifice, you know. Yeah, so the children, they have a legitimate concern. And from the parents' perspective, will I become a burden to my children? Do you think about that? Sure, parents think about that. Will I become a burden to my children? Will I spend my last days in a nursing facility? Again, I say these are serious concerns in a world where folks are living longer in this day and age. On a little bit more lighter note, there is a phobia of growing old. And listen, I want to go on record again. I do not want this to come across offensive. It's not intended to, as it is humorous. You know, there's, if you Google old folks quotes, and we're going to use one of those here in a moment. If you want some cheap entertainment, you need to do that sometime, okay? But anyway, we are a society that likes to keep our youth. There used to be people who would make the drive from wherever in the country to go down to Florida, where this fella from long ago named Ponce de Leon came up with this fountain of youth. People would rush there and go there, maybe drink up its waters and things of that nature, and they still died. You think about this. We color our hair. I say we're a society who wants to keep our youth. We add hair to our existing hair. Arter, I thought about that, but I not going made that step yet. Probably won't. We put on makeup. Things are tucked, lifted, suction. You can even get an extreme makeover and make yourself look 20 years younger. And sometimes it's just difficult for some just to face the obvious. My looks are changing. And they're not changing for the better. Yeah, part of life. Remember, here's one of those quotes, and again, not to be offensive, but here's how one older lady said it. Who am I anyway? That was her question. I wear a wig, I wear false teeth, I wear glasses, I wear a hearing aid, I wear makeup, I wear support hose, I wear odor eaters. When I come home from going out, I'm worn out because of all that I wear and all that I have to take out and take off. I look a mess when I start disassembling myself. I fear it's getting to me. And these are the golden years. Well, our looks do change over the years, don't they? How often do you go back and look at your pictures and see how you change? I'll show you something just to prove my point. Now you look 44 years ago and you look now, and what do you see? Well, things have changed. This is what time does to us. Well, the Bible says it's a blessing to grow old, all right? But before we look into the Bible, let's consider, if you will, what is commonly called the seven ages of men or the seven ages of man. You come fresh into the world, a newborn baby, 6 weeks, and all systems go. Think about it. At 6 years, all systems, no, no, no. That's all the kid seems to know to say. No. At 16, all systems, suddenly they know more than the parents, right? I know what's good for me, Mom, Dad. I know what's best for me. They know. Then at 26 years, all systems are glowing. You got them on their feet. They've left the nest, and they're doing well. So all systems are glowing. And then at 36 years, all systems, oh. Ah, reality is setting in, you see. And wait a minute, 20 years later, All systems are status quo. They're the same as they were when you were 36. You're still owing. Yeah, that's kind of what life throws at us. And then at 76 years, all systems tend to slow. That's kind of the way it is. But there's one other angle I want us to look at this. We come into the world with spills and drills and thrills and bills and ills and pills. You see where it leads? So again, it's a progression. It's a procedure. Life is in that regards. But let's move on. Let's go to the 71st Psalm and notice what the psalmist has for us to learn this afternoon. Psalm chapter 71. And we're going to look at this psalm of this aging man. And let's begin with the concerns that he experienced. Look with me, if you will, in Psalm chapter 71, and we'll get there at verse 9 in just a moment. What's going on with this aging man is he's getting older. His strength is starting to fail. He's outlived his friends. There's no one to protect him from his enemies that now threatened him. But he prays to God that God also would not forsake him in his time of adversity. So in verse number 9, we have this reading. Do not cast me off. Listen to his prayer. Do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Those who are aging, you know your strength fails, don't you? You know you can't do what you once did. I tell you, you may get it in your head that I can do this. You're going to take on a chore. Maybe you think, well, I can change the oil in my truck. I used to do that all the time. But now you're up in years. But your mind says, I can do that. And you'll go out to the garage and you'll get the old bucket that you used to change the oil in 20 years ago. You've still got that bucket. You've got the oil filter wrench hanging up there on the pegboard, and you get that down and you go over there and you maybe get your 5/8 or 3/4 inch wrench for the oil pan nut. You might get the creeper out to lay on the creeper to get under the truck. It might be high enough that you don't really have to jack the truck up because the tires are tall enough. And lo and behold, you get under there. And you can't break the oil pan nut loose. So you have to get back out and go back to the garage and get the hammer, and then you have to get back down on the creeper and get back under there and take the hammer and hit the wrench to break the oil pan nut. Finally, the oil pan nut breaks and the oil starts dripping. Then you have to get the oil filter wrench and you got to get it up on the oil filter, and you can't break the oil filter loose. Well, anyway, to cut through all that, you're finished. And you're just worn out, aren't you? What you could do in 15 minutes 20 years ago is such a major chore. That's life. Our mind may say one thing, but I tell you what, your body will tell on you, won't it? It'll tell on you that, no, I can't do that. And this old man is praying, do not forsake me when my strength fails. Look at verse 18. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Even when I'm old and gray. Now let's just stop here just for a moment, and you remember Ecclesiastes 12 at verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. You're no longer in the days of your youth now. Okay? you're an old man or you're an older woman now. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Verse 12, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Listen, older folks, understand. I just want this church, I know you do. But I want you young people to understand what you see when you look at the older brothers and sisters of this congregation. I want you to see those members that come in with their walkers and with their cane. I want you to see those members that come in like this. To those members who are like that, you're such a blessing to all of us. Amen is right. You're setting an example for these young people. You're setting an example for those who may be weak in the faith, who just stay home for anything and everything. If you read the bulletin article this morning, how do they do that? How do those old folks come to almost every service? And then there's some who just miss for this, that, and the other. I just, you know, my tennis elbow's just acting up a little bit, and, you know, I just don't feel like it. And a sister Justine told me this evening, I can hurt just as bad at home as I can here. And that's just one of the remarks in the bulletin article. That's the mindset of our older folks. 94 years old and battling cancer. And he's here? What? What an example. For you widows who have lost your husbands, look where you're at. You're right where you need to be. You're right where you want to be. And you're right where your husbands would want you to be. And likewise for any widowers. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7, parallel with Psalm 71 and verse 12. Peter says, casting all your care upon Him, upon God, for He cares for you. Let's notice next the confidence he expressed. Not only did the old man cast his soul upon God, but he did so with confidence that God would be there for him. This old man envisions God's help and protection in answer to his prayer. Why did this old man have such confidence in God? Well, it's obvious that he had a knowledge of God that came through a lifetime of study and experience. Look at verse 5. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my confidence from my youth. This man started out just like you young people, from my youth. And here he is now, an old man. And he reflects back because he's got confidence in his God. You're still my hope, O Lord God. You're my confidence from my youth. You brought me through my youth. You brought me to this point in time in my life now. Verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and I still declare thy wondrous deeds. Young people, if you were to ask some of the elderly of this congregation, do you still pray? Do you still declare God when you can to other people? Chances are they're going to say, yes, I do, honey. I certainly do, young man. I still declare the wondrous deeds of Almighty God. Listen, he could remember how God had brought him through many troubles. Look there at verse number 6. By thee I have been sustained from my birth. Listen, I know we all have our prayer, the way we pray, all right? But there's times when we just got to get alone with God. Just you and God. And you just pour out your heart to God. I like Philippians 4 at verse 6 here, where Paul says, be anxious for nothing, But in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, we need to do just that. We need to make our prayer and requests known unto God. But listen, sometimes when I am in deep prayer, and I take time to do that, I go to a park near my home, and it's a scenic park, and I just look at God's creation, and I pray and I thank God. You know, as the psalmist says, the heavens declare thy glory, the firmament shows your handiwork. And I go to God in prayer, and oftentimes I thank God from my birth to my point in life right now at 66 years old, and every year in between. I want God to know that I'm thankful for His blessings upon me, even from my youth to my present age. I think it's good to remember that. The psalmist says, by thee I've been sustained from my birth. Verse number 20, if you will. Thou who hast shown me many troubles and distresses wilt revive me again and wilt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You've had your good days, you've had your bad days, haven't you? You're going to have that, folks. You know that. I'm telling you a fact of life that many of us can experience and speak for a fact. I know I've been here. I've been shown many troubles and many distresses. But at the end of the day, and in God's time, He's revived me. He has revived me. He had faith that God would continue to deliver him. Look at verse 3. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. You can always count on God, can't you? In Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, speaking of God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't that do something for our confidence, knowing that God is going to be there for me throughout my entire life here on this earth? In verse 16, I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, thine alone. We never get too old to stop talking about God. We never get too old. I've been a marvel to many, the old man would say. Let's look at our next point. Let's notice the consequences he expected, okay? Think about it. We've seen the concerns he's experienced. We see the confidence that he expressed. Now we want to look at the consequences that he expected, that he would continue to praise God for his blessings. At verse 23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Listen, as you get older, as the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes tells us, our voice has a tendency to fade and get weaker. You can't sing as loud as you once sung, can you? That's another fact of life for the most part. But my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises. You're singing from the heart, aren't you? You can remember those old songs that you sung for years and years and years. You can remember how loud perhaps you sang all those years. And now maybe your voice is just down to a whisper. This old man, he's reminded of that. He is reminded that he would tell others of God's strength and grace. Look there at verse 15. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. There's just so many blessings, you see. But yet, as we grow older, you continue to stay in God's Word and you tell others of the righteousness of God. You tell others of the salvation that you've experienced all day long. Sometimes it seems like as one gets older, they just talk about God more. Maybe, I don't know, think about it. They're not as active as they once was, and things used to take their time away maybe. But now, at this stage in life, they're talking about God day in and day out, what God has done for them. Verse number 18, I believe it is. And even when I'm old and gray, we looked at that a moment ago, O God, do not forsake me, watch this, until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. Look what our older saints can do. They can tell the younger generation. Now, I know sometimes that the younger generation may not want to hear it. Now, that's too bad, because that's one of the greatest feats in living is experience. That you can pass experience on to the generation under you. A generation maybe consists of 40 years gap there, if you will. Think about that. This old man is doing just that. Until I declare thy strength to this generation. What if it's a grandparent telling a grandchild to live godly, to put God first in their life, to remind their grandchildren that, listen, there's a reward waiting for you in the end. Grandparents telling their grandchildren, listen, it won't be much longer for me, but when I'm gone, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that your mamma, your grandma, your grandpa, your papa, whatever term we use, kept God first in their life. That your parents are setting that example for you, putting God first in their lives. And that another generation will come up and keep God first in their lives. And when that generation starts having children, that another generation grows up putting God first in their lives. You see, there is an alternative to that if you don't do that. In Judges 2 at verse 10, it says that another generation arose which knew not the Lord. Parents and grandparents, we certainly don't want that said of our children and grandchildren. Let's continue to be that example. So think about this. Look at verse 7. I have become a marvel to many, for thou art my strong refuge. We've just hit the tip of the iceberg as you look at your elderly members here at Manslick. They are a marvel to many. And that's from within. What about the neighbors who see you come every Sunday and get out of the cars in your walkers or wheelchairs or canes? You would think that they would think, wow, what is it over there that makes these old people come every Sunday afternoon, a Wednesday night, and that thing they put out there on the marquee, a gospel meeting, whatever that is, and they're there every night. I become a marvel to many. Think about that. You're not doing it for show. We understand that. You're doing it because you love God, and you know what's waiting for you. That's why you do it. God bless every one of you for that good example. Verse 21. Mayest thou increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I'll give you a passage if you want to write it down. And it's just not for our elderly saints. But as we grow older, there's just a need for more comfort. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You go home tonight or tomorrow maybe, sometime this week, and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all the first 8-10 verses. And you read about that God of comfort whom you serve, what He's able to do. It'll lift your spirits, brothers and sisters, to know that this is the God that I serve. And I know He will forever be with me. All right, so let's get to our main point, and that is this. How shall the old secure their hearts? I want to suggest that you keep learning and growing in the faith. You don't know it all. You'll never know it all. None of us will never know it all. But let's learn as much as we possibly can learn while we can still learn. For the day may come when you're not able to read the Bible again. Maybe you're blind, all right? Maybe you have to hear the Bible read by tape. Or maybe you have somebody to come by, some younger person who can serve this congregation by go visiting an older person who can't read very well because they can't see very well, and you read a few chapters to them. You watch what that does for that older person. You want to bring joy into their life? You do something like that. You show those older people that you care. You'll be glad you did. Here's something else you do. You need to stay connected to loved ones, friends, brothers and sisters. Here's one thing you don't want to do as you grow older. You don't want to become an introvert if you don't have to. Stay as active as you can. Call people on the phone. Send a card. If you're still driving, make a visit when you're up to it. Be an encouragement to one another. Boy, that would make a good sermon. Do that, you see. Again, you'll be glad you did. Stay connected. Don't just go out of sight, out of mind. Don't do that. Be as active as you can. How about counting your blessings daily? And I know, listen, try real hard to avoid complaining. I had one grandmother. The opposites of grandmas. It's just that way. I had one who was just as meek and humble as she could be. Just as loving as she could be. And I had another one. Whoa, just the complete opposite. Constantly complaining, constantly tearing down, constantly complaining. But listen, try real hard not to complain. If I were to ask you this question, listen, how would you respond? Well, maybe it's a statement more than a question. As old as you are tonight, does your cup still run over? The psalmist said in the 23rd Psalm about how his cup runs over. Oh, you don't, listen, you can't do what you used to do. We get that. But listen, you're still able to get around to a degree. You're still able perhaps to live independently. You're still able to maybe cook a little bit. Aren't you happy about that? That should make you feel good. So you count your blessings. And again, you try as you can to avoid complaining. Treat others with kindness rather than with insensitive frankness. And that's one of the traits of older folks. They can get by with it. They can be brutally honest. They can put it right in your lap, so to speak. So let's be sensitive of that. But if you can, treat others with kindness. Keep serving others. Again, here it is. Do little things. Make a call. Send a card. Visit if possible. Invite or get together for lunch. Those are things that keep you active. Those are things that you look forward to. I've got an 86-year-old mother-in-law who lives with her 84-year-old sister. And they talk about the simplest things that they look forward to doing. We got to go down and get some gas today. Got to run by the drugstore and get my prescription. They're still able to drive, fortunately. But just the smallest things, they just look forward to it. Where most of us just kind of take those things for granted, you know. But not them. How about keep your eyes on the prize? In Philippians 1 there at verse 9, you know, if you go back to Acts chapter 7, at the conclusion of that chapter, there's a young man from Tarsus, his name's Saul. And he is witnessing, or has directed even, the stoning of Stephen. The Bible says, Luke records for us there, that those who were stoning Stephen laid their cloaks at a young man's feet named Saul. A young man's feet named Saul. When you get over to Philemon, chapter 1 at verse 9, Paul references himself as Paul the aged. From that young man who was a persecutor and blasphemer of the church to now an old man in the faith. Listen to 2 Timothy 4 at verse 6 as we come to a close here. Paul knows what's waiting. He knows he's going to basically lose his head for his faith in Christ. Philippians 4:8, Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. The next verse says, henceforth, because I've kept the faith and finished the course, he says, there are laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And then he says, but not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. You see, that crown of righteousness was not just for the Apostle Paul. That's for all of us to look forward to. That's why we need to keep the faith. That's why we need to finish the course. Another thought or two is this. Payday's right around the corner. I know we don't know when we're going to pass from this life. I understand that. But we know with each day brings us closer to leaving this earth, doesn't it? Yeah. So payday's right around the corner. Don't give up now. When death comes your way, be ready for it. Listen to Psalm 90 at verse number 10. Where the psalmist, Moses writes, the days of our lives are 70 years. Anyone here 70 years old yet? And if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Anyone here 80 years plus? How about 90 years? The psalmist goes on and says this, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's what you do. The older you get, teach us to number our days so that we can gain this heart of wisdom. Yep, there it is. We soon fly away. We sing a song along those lines, don't we? Some glad morning when this life is over. Yeah, we sing about it. It's coming, isn't it? And we want to do just that. We want to do just that. Don't forget this. In Psalm 116 at verse 15, the psalmist says here, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Revelation 14, 13. John says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You can die in the Lord or you can die out of the Lord. The Bible says it's a blessing to die in the Lord. How important is that? This is how the old secures their hearts. If you're here this afternoon and perhaps not a soul-stirring sermon by any stretch, but yet a topic that needs to be discussed to remind us that we are getting older. Each and every day, I just want to ask this: have you made preparations to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Another song says there's a great day coming and there's a sad day coming. Whichever day you receive is dependent upon you and the choices you make in this life. If you need any assistance at all from a spiritual perspective, Ryan is here. The elders are here to assist you in any way that you might need. So we're going to invite you at this time to take advantage of this invitation to respond to the gospel call to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to put Christ on in baptism. And if you've already done that, if you're having any spiritual issues that is separating you from God and that fellowship, we would invite you to restore that as we stand and sing the song right now.